Chapter 19. Jimmy. There's a thing called Prisoner's Dilemma. All of this honey tells me on the way back. It's a game, she says. Sounds like a crap game to me. Two prisoners being questioned. Do you sell out your mate or keep shtum? You both shut up. You're in gravy. You keep quiet and your mate rats you out. You're screwed, but your treacherous mate does super well. You both rat on each other somewhere in the middle. Anyway, this guy, Axelrod, set up a championship for computers to play this scintillating diversion like 100 times a pop to see what the best strategy was. Honey says you play once, being a rat works out. You play 100 times, you learn to cooperate. Being nice pays off more than being a shit. I can't help but feel she's using this as some kind of lesson concerning the habits of yours truly. Except, she says, there was this team from Southampton U, wherever that is, that worked out there was a better strategy to win. She says they entered a whole load of computers, 50, 100, flooded the system, and from the way they played the first few matches, they could recognize each other. Know when they were playing another Southampton guy. And then one of the two throws the match, always keeps shtum, and lets the other one rat it out over and over. Meaning, when all the dust was cleared, the top scorers in the whole match are a handful of Southampton alumni, honey says. And right at the bottom of the league table are all the others who've given up everything so their mates can grab the top spots. So what? Says I. So they hacked the system, she tells me. So they took a real simple game and found there's a meta game even in that. What they said, these computers, is basically they reinvented feudalism and called it winning. Not that you can generalize from Prisoner's Dilemma to life, she tells me, but the lesson the Southampton Gambit teaches is that you win at life by convincing a bunch of other people to give up their lives for you, to fuck themselves over, to kneel down so's you can stand on their backs and use them like stairs to get to the top. All very goddamn fascinating, but it's not life, is it? Is my response. And she says, no, Jimmy. And that's why you're out here building someone else's big house on Mars. Because she is a patronizing bitch. Brian says that he and the whole bees cult business have Hell City's systems in hand, meaning we'll sneak in without finding Sheriff Rufus and a whole pack of bad news bears waiting for us. After that, not really sure. I mean, it's not like they ain't still looking for me. What's your play? I ask Sugar. She looks like she's counting, doing hard sums in her head. Not sure, she admits. I was hoping I'd get something out of this little jaunt we could use. Could sell Bri and the other two to admin, get out of shit that way. I mean, bees is big biz, right? I have what I think of as one of my rare moments of clarity. You want bees as your enemy, or you want admin? Yeah, well, she admits, that is the actual fucking problem, ain't it? I mean, you got friends, right? Right now I ain't got any, and I was kind of hoping to hide out in Sugar's shadow, save that someone's turned a light on right over her, and that shadow's looking goddamn small. She stares moodily at the horizon, where you can see Hell City works dug into Hellas Planitia, like a blister that got infected. Maybe. Makes you want a dose of that Southampton method. To make people get in line. So, honey, you in there? Course she's fucking in there, I say, because I should be so lucky. Just thinking. Honey confirms, because that's the only goddamn reason she isn't actually talking at any given moment. Why are these clowns on Earth looking into this game anyway? Well, I've been considering that, because of course she has. And the worrying thing is that it's a mass-collaring strategy. Back when I was in the military, we had what we called a hierarchy, which is coloring with a scale of who outranks who, so you know whose orders to follow. I still bless the man who freed us from it. That was when everything started.
Sure, sure, Sugar tells her. Without et cetera, you'd not be where you are today, which is dead on Mars. Get to the point.
Honey sighs over the radio.
I think they've probably used the Southampton method to test out a sort of instant hierarchy, so that once you take a mass of people and simultaneously collar them, they fall into a feudal structure, everyone knowing who's above, who's below. Gives you an immediately functioning setup, instant fascism.
Wait now, I butt in. Who's this mass of people they're doing all this collaring to?
Sugar's looking at me, and Marmalade's looking at me. Brian's driving, and Mariah and Judith went off in their own loony. But I can feel Honey looking at me even though she hasn't got eyes anymore, even though all she could see would be the inside of my skull.
Well, she says at last, given it's Braintree that's doing all this work, what if there were a whole load of people carrying a bunch of Braintree headwear around somewhere, like a closed-off community of them somewhere outside World Senate legal reach who'd make for a perfect experiment?
Oh, I say, I mean, what else is there?
And this is where it goes.
Honey's holding forth now, and she's talking to a room full of politicos or academics.
You let people reintroduce hierarchies by inches, and then you've got this, and nobody would complain because, hell, Mars is all the way over there and not our backyard. And then, when the Mars test is satisfactorily wrapped up and Hell City gets built double time and no wage bill, someone looks at some big job they've got on Earth and says, wouldn't it be great if we could do that here? And someone else looks at the bottom line and calculates the value of their share portfolio and says,
all right, Jesus, I interrupt her. So what? We just wake up and we're zombies?
You wake up and you can't say no, Honey tells me, to anything, ever. Maybe they refine the process, and you don't even want to say no. But there's no reason for that. That means extra nuance that costs money. All they need is that you can't. But it won't come to that now. If Bees does what she says she will, if the Braintree data is as incriminating as she says it is.
We go round the edge of the construction site. I mean, plenty of people see us. But we're just a bunch of people in a loony, and that's not news. So maybe word gets back to Sheriff Rufus soon enough. But by then, we're in.
I got somewhere we can hole up, Sugar says. See what kind of stink's still hanging about, Jimmy. Count me goddamn in. I ain't got nowhere. And I ain't got so much stringer left either, because I've been sneaking it in whenever Honey's distracted. Right now, my anxiety levels are trying to push branches up my throat and out of the top of my head. But the string is keeping them under control, just about. Except I got 4 pills left, and that doesn't look like much to me. I can link to Hell City now, and as we're on the move, I figure I'm not tripping too many alarms if I check my balance. It's still in credit. It's not even frozen. So, hole up with Sugar, sure, just for a very short while, maybe 3 pills worth. After that, yours truly is going to need to go shopping.
There's news from Earth, Sugar says. Get on the news channel. Holy fuck!
Honey chuckles, and I don't know how she does it. Not really. Not with her just being an upload in my head coming over our radios. But damn me, if there ain't a whole load of satisfaction in that sound. Takes about 15 minutes for a signal to get from Mars to Earth on average. But we've been bouncing about in the loony for a couple hours, and all hell's hit the fan while we were out of the loop. We got to assume Bees did her thing, and then this lawyer did his thing, because there's basically one thing the entire planet is talking about. And that's Braintree.
Braintree experimenting, Braintree breaking laws, videos of surgical operations, videos of weird experiments where lobotomized kids exchange complicated handshakes, videos of the goddamn crematoria under the place where they got rid of what they'd made. There's a picture of some skinny white guy whose head, Brainiac, over there, and people are saying a modern Dr. Mengele, whatever that means. Nothing good, apparently. And Thompson, the guy who popped the cap in Honey's bare ass and got her sent out here. We listen to anchors infuse every word of the news with urgency. Thompson, funding links to Braintree. Thompson on the videos, giving the orders. Thompson's lawyers denying, smear campaign, political opponents. They even mention bees, say that the videos might be faked. I mean, might be faked? You'd figure someone would remember whether they did all that or not. And they ain't given up yet. Got to give them credit. That legal team is doing some real Olympic-grade weaseling. And you can tell they're going to keep stonewalling until the money runs out. Sounds like nobody's been let in Braintree either. You got a whole team of WS agents sitting outside while the lawyers barricade the place with paper. We're in by then. Snuck through an access hatch. Sugar and Marmalade are ahead, and we're in old tunnels set into the original foundations, which means we're actually super close to admin, to storage 19, to my own goddamn nook, and some real friendly purveyors of farmer, for that matter. But then, the livable part of Hell City still ain't all that big, and this is out of the way, and when we reach the hidey hole, it's down an access way Marmalade can only just squeeze through, and then into a room that must be in the ventilation system, because there's a constant current of dust from one end to the other, like an all-hour sandstorm that can't quite be bothered. "It's what I got," Sugar says, to stave off any complaints. "Wasn't planning to have to use it. So, when does admin back down, honey? When do they stop hunting Jimmy and stop caring about me?" "That's based on local parameters I have no knowledge of, I'm afraid," Honey says. "However, if it was purely being pushed from Earth, from Thompson, then I think he has bigger things to worry about than where I've gone." We spend the next few hours watching the wheels grind over on Earth, while Sugar tracks down Murder, still alive, we find out. Locked up in the med wing of the cells the sheriff keeps handy. She feels the situation out in short bursts, careful as you like, not wanting to give any electronic surveillance the satisfaction. Sugar's good at hiding her tracks, but Rufus is good at tracking, and we all reckon that goes for digital as well as the real. "Reckon they'll make a deal?" I ask her, once she's satisfied her hench bear hasn't been turned into a rug for the sheriff. Right now she's sitting with her back to the wall, head down to keep out of the dust flow, eyes screwed shut. I just got a little shut-eye, and now I sit down beside her, enough distance that she doesn't punch me. "They better," she replies. "I can make things real rough for them. I know things." Sugar sounds desperate. That ain't a Sugar I'm used to. She knows she might have some pull, but she's a small operator. She can't go head-to-head with Danny Boyd over an admin. And while she could maybe survive a skirmish with Rufus while she had two bears to call on, she can't win if he keeps gunning for her. "At least you care about your employees more than goddamn admin." I am in the mood to grouse. She gives me a look. "It's not like that." "What's not?" "Murder and Marmalade and me." She looks worn out. I slept a bit on the loony on the way back. I don't reckon she did. "We're in it together. It's just easy if people think I'm in charge. And now they got her and admins being weird." "Weird how?" "Slow. Whole system's slow. I wonder if it's this business Honey set off. If this Thompson's been sending executive orders to Hell City, then maybe Boyd and his clowns are busy shredding the files right about now." "Why bother? We're outside Earth law, you hear? They can do whatever shit they want to us." She shrugs. People send data here when they want it out of sight, but still around. I mean, that was my business, right? Maybe there's a ton of shit over here they don't want people to see. Even worse than what's out already. Cheery fucking thought. I got a cheerier one. It's the worry, or it's the tiredness, or what we've gone through in the last day. But she's being almost pally with me right now. You reckon you know when they do it to you? Do what? Kalia? If we were all set up for it, would we know if they turn it on? Or do you only find out the moment you try to do something they don't want? Or is it that you don't even think of it? You go through your life being the obedient drone and never realize you don't get a choice anymore. Jesus, you are just full of the happies, ain't you? She's frowning. I don't get it, though. Hey, honey, you in there? Where else should she be? I ask. But she's done with me now. Quiet, Jimbles. Grown-ups talking. Honey, this collaring, it ain't exactly cutting-edge experimental. So why all these damn tests? Why not just slap us with a collar the moment we wake up on Mars? I mean, me and mine have been fucking over the system since we got here, twisting it so we can make a buck. You gonna tell me they could have us all like robot slaves working here, and they didn't? Why hold off, if that's their plan? That, comes Honey's voice, is a very interesting question. Meaning one of you ain't got no answer for? Sugar presses. I don't think they've installed a collar in you, despite what I was saying earlier, not as part of your basic headwear. Well, how would you know? Sugar asks her. Because I basically have access to absolutely everything in Jimmy's head, she says, like it's a good thing. If it was there, I could turn it on and off. I can't find anything like a collaring system. So I can only assume it was something they were planning to upload to you all at a later date. I mean, you have all this headspace free, except you're right. The tech certainly existed when Braintree designed your headwear, so why not just... And it's like Honey shuts down. I swear I feel her get smaller in my head. For a moment I think her shelf life or half life or whatever the hell is over, and I'm actually rid of her. But it's not that. She's still sitting rent-free in my goddamn head. It's just that she caught some more news from Earth. I tune in and see what's changed. Seems to be the same legal clusterfuck as before, far as I can see. Then I spot the new secret ingredient. Bodies. Pictures of an old Middle East-looking gent who obviously did very well for himself. Picture of a dead woman, meaning I guess they never snapped her when she was alive. Ditto with the dog bioform. Three bodies found at the offices of some swanky law firm, except the name of the firm's familiar because of Honey going on about it. Unknown female, unknown male bioform. But Mr. Groomed Beard and Expensive Suit has a name. Aslan. Ah, I clock. He was your pal. Yes, Honey agrees quietly. And I just got him killed. That was what bees meant, how things might get worse. He let out the data, though, Sugar puts in. Bees got it to him. He let it out. It's like you told the bees it was his choice. Honey makes a sound. It isn't a convinced sound. I sit on the news feed a bit, see what's what, in case anyone started talking Mars. You'd be amazed the number of people who reckon Braintree as some God-given international right to privacy, that nobody should be able to kick in the doors and see the crematoria and the operating theaters, that everyone should just forget they ever saw this illegally obtained evidence, basically, and stuff it all back in the box. Politicians and lawyers and businessmen mopping their brows and complaining about what a mess the world's got into if a prison can't perform illegal brain ops on its inmates without everyone making a fuss about it. But I reckon there aren't so many of those voices. Not with more and more of those videos coming out. Each one worse than the last. I don't reckon Braintree will keep its doors closed for long. And I try to work out how I feel about all that. I mean, the stuff they're talking about now, it's all after I got on the rocket. But they must have been doing something similar before. When they designed this headwear we all got given, after that other lab had done the body mods, they must have tested it on someone first. So how do I feel that part of me has that blood on it? So how do I feel that part of me has that blood on it? And if Braintree had played by the rules, I wouldn't be the man I am today. I want to say I'm still pretty damn fine with it all, but the thought's like a hook in me. That they ruined someone so they could get me right, or else that they ruined someone so they could fuck me up properly when the time came. If they do download a collar, I say, just quiet-like, for honey, you can switch it off, right? I think probably could, yes, she says. So maybe there's a silver lining to that particular cloud. We kick our heels for another few hours while the news dog on Earth chases its tail. Mars hasn't come up, and Sugar isn't able to get anything out of admin. In fact, whole sections of the Hell City system aren't returning her calls right now. I figure everyone's gone into disaster mode, waiting for the fallout. Anyway, all this waiting's doing nobody any good, most especially not my stash. And so, I get on my feet and announce I'm going scouting, see how things are, see if any shit's coming down anywhere near us. Sugar doesn't care, and Honey's too busy following the news or mourning her dear friend, so I get out without anyone stopping me. The system traffic is very curious, Honey says as I step out of Sugar's dust-choked hideout. But being me, I don't pay a whole lot of notice. I get far enough away that I won't bring heat down on Sugar, and then I put in some calls, keeping on the move between them, so Sheriff Rufus doesn't turn up to tap me on the shoulder. I mean, not like he couldn't track me down, but I ain't making it easy for him, and I hope he's glued to the news same as everyone else must be. And it does seem to be most everyone else. I put in calls to Lucas Knoll and Joey Venker, and neither of them want to hear from me, not even so's they can tell me to go to hell in person. Then I try Gerda Buzrovi, and she's not picking up either, and I am now feeling decidedly hard done by, as though all this Braintree Thompson business is aimed at pushing yours truly into involuntary cold turkey. I mean, okay, something's kicking off back on the home world, but that shouldn't spike the wheels of illegal commerce, should it? I mean, there could be a war on, and you should be able to score some stringer if you had the scrip. At last, I get through to Fergal Maldoon, who is not my dealer of choice on account of the 10% hike he puts on everything, and return for the pleasure of dealing with Fergal Maldoon. It looks like a seller's market, though, and while I'm not quite a beggar, it surely doesn't look like I'm a chooser. So, I go some way out of my way through the tunnels beneath Hell City, the crap ones where half the lights don't work, until I get to Muldoon's turf, and it's quiet. So fine, there'll be a shift outside, and maybe everyone else is in the bars and the clubs, or maybe they're all hunched in their nooks. Maybe there was a company picnic and nobody told me. Quiet, though. Quiet enough to freak me out. I check in with Sugar, just in case it's that special quiet of Rufus and the posse trailing me once they cleaned out our home base.
Jimbles, I think something's up, she said.
Reception's very bad. I troubleshoot, and it says it's an external issue. The network's overloaded. We're getting hardly any of the bandwidth.
I'm hearing a lot of chatter, she tells me.
Which is news to me, as I'm not hearing crap.
Nobody can check in with admin, she says. And now Central Data Services is bouncing queries like it's a citywide denial of service. It's like Hell City's getting hacked. Whole neighborhoods going dark.
I can barely hear her now. Signal turning to noise as whatever it is spreads out. I go to Muldoon's. He's got another client there, I think. Some guy I don't know whose overalls are blue and who's less heavily modded than us working Joes. Some admin maintenance type slumming it down here with the rest of us so's he can get his fix. Bastard better not get the last strip of stringer or I will goddamn mug him for it. And he's got a weird look on his face as he greets Fergal. Weird smile, very wide, thin-lipped, eyes half-closed. Looks real pleased with himself. But then if I worked in admin, maybe I would too. And he wants to shake Fergal's hand real bad, and Fergal doesn't know what to do with him. He sees me out of the corner of his eye, and it's suddenly all, "Hey there, good old pal Jimmy," which is sure as hell not something I get often. He's telling admin guy that I'm a good friend, a good client, got deals to do, biz to whiz. And that's fine with me, because it means I can maybe score a little extra for a little less. And I'm thinking maybe he owes admin guy some scrip, and I'm saving his ass, so I can hold that ass to the fire a bit for a better price. Except when I get close to my man Fergal Muldoon, a change comes over him. He starts staring at me, and his mouth stops moving. No more words from Fergal all of a sudden. He stood right still, and I'm trying to tell him what I want, and can he just hurry it along? An admin guy is right there with that damnable smile. And Fergal smiles. His eyes screw up and he beams at me, real big smile, real pleased with himself. And not like he normally is, which would be bad enough. This isn't any expression I ever saw in the face of Fergal Muldoon. It makes him look constipated. It should be funny, except it's the exact smile of admin guy, as though Fergal's just put on his face. They both smile at me, and then they shake hands, the two of them, like a little gang thing, a little series of clutches and touches, and then Fergal ducks his head, real unconscious-like. An admin guy is sticking out his hand to me, still smiling, waiting. Honey says, "Go now, Jimmy. Just go. Something very bad is happening." "No shit," I say, and leg it, pelting back the way I came. I almost run straight into someone come straight off the works on the surface, white and green overalls covered with fresh dust. They smile at me, the same goddamn smile. They want to shake hands, and there's a message in my head, no voice, just text. "Marmalade here. Something wrong with sugar. Come now."